Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings, Voice of America listeners, and happy Friday. This is VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the March 15th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. The Voice of America is once again a proud broadcasting partner of the Men's Basketball Africa League, or BAL, which tipped off its fourth season on March 9th at the SunBet Arena in Pretoria, South Africa. In a BAL result from Thursday night, the Angolan club Petro de Luanda edged FUS Rabat of Morocco 89-86 in Pretoria. Point guard Childe Dundau led the way with a game-high 25 points for Petro, while teammate Abubakar Gakou, a power forward, added 21 points and a game-high 10 rebounds. Rabat's high scorer was American Jonathan Jordan, who finished with 18 points. Now, Rabat remains on top of the Kalahari Conference standings with 2 wins and 1 loss. Petro has the same record, but Rabat is at plus 32 in terms of points scored versus points allowed, while Petro is at plus 6. Look for both teams at this year's BAL playoffs, which will be held in May in Kigali, Rwanda. My VOA colleague Mukbil Yabaro described the withdrawal of the Burundian club Dynamo as the elephant in the room this week in the Kalahari Conference. Let's listen to Mukbil's comments now, as well as those of Sheck Tiero, the big man from Bamako, and yours truly on our Nothing But Net VOA BAL podcast.
Welcome to the Nothing But Net podcast. I'm joined here in studio with my guys, Sonny Young and Sheck Tiero. Man, has it been an interesting BAL season 4. We got to start off. Elephant in the room. Let's go, Sheck. Sheck.
Man, I mean, Mukbil, it's so sad to see these kids going like the way they're going now. I'm pretty sure they all want to play, but the situation doesn't allow them to play. It's very sad to see something like that.
Dynamo Basketball Club, the Burundian side, is no longer a part of the Kalahari Conference. Sonny, what was your thoughts? Because we watched that. We were commentating on that game against.
Yeah,
the...
I was so impressed with Dynamo in their opening game against Cape Town. They, I think they led by as much as 20 points during points of the game, and you know, some of the players looked really good. And I feel bad for the players on the team that they have to go home.
Yeah, absolutely. Also, some tremendous talent, Mukbil and Sonny. Like this team came hungry. You know, and all new teams are coming hungry now because they've been watching from the season 1 to now. Mm-hmm. So you might be seeing more coming, you know what I'm saying? Even the 6 teams that qualified before, don't be surprised this new team coming for your lunch. We're seeing Pedro right now.
Coming for your lunch, bro. I'll be honest with you. Sonny and I spoke about this prior to the season starting. We said, look, you had 2 teams that, you know, were debutante teams, and then you had 2 teams that were veteran teams. Veteran teams have the advantage of being in the season, but the biggest problem is there's so much film on you. Petro de Luanda got the same cast, same crew.
Cape Town Tigers.
Same crew, you know, for 3-4 seasons.
Yeah, that I will add that to that, you know, people will be watching the Petro. This Petro is big with zone. You know, how you kill zone is when you're playing somebody who is more active on defensive end, you can kill a zone easy.
Yeah.
That's what we saw with Petro. That Petro, the big men are good, but if you get somebody like Aliou Jara who can move faster than Pedro and all their bigs, it wear them out. And the first quarter, we see that they stake the lead. Yeah. It was never turned back around it because it was, these kids are so quick. And so you see sometimes the coaches see that their weakness. Mm-hmm. A zone is the what they play. Everybody see that. And for you to beat a zone, you got to have a mobile and agile players to make them wear out and make them play. Because zone, you always got to pick one person double.
Right.
And the second one is a 3-point shot.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So they did good with that. That's why we're seeing Petro is having a hard time right now finding the other team.
Check. Yeah. One quick shout out for 19-year-old Nigerian Israel Atobo for Dynamo. He was so good in that opening game. Any chance that he might get picked up by another BAL team?
It's doable because situations like that never happen in the league right now. But we're seeing new things that are happening every year now. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
We see teams that have never had an experience coming in and just be like, I'm here to win the whole thing.
Right.
We saw that with Stade Malien. This year we've seen it with Fus. And we were supposed to see that with Dinamo as well. But unfortunately, they went out. But, you know, this one, I want to give the biggest shout out to Sonny right now, Mugbeo.
Sonny's been
a tremendous ride, you know, dealing with this Basketball Africa League from the first season, you know. And Sonny, if people don't know, Sonny's been giving like a content on sports in the whole Africa for so many years, you know, and giving our audience insight of what is sports is all kind, you know. And we're greatly going to miss that professionalism and understanding of sport and give it to the youth and our audience around the world. We're definitely going to miss that, Sonny.
Thank you,
Shaq.
That
big shout out I want to give it to you before I even go to the other team first, you know.
Yeah, this will be my last podcast for the Voice of America. I am retiring. And I got to tell you, Shaq, these podcasts have been probably the most fun I've had at VOA in a long, long time. I mean, informative, entertaining, talking with guys like you.
Absolutely.
Sonny, we will definitely continue chatting about Sonny's departure. But before that, let's go to one of the amazing initiatives that the Basketball Africa League is doing, the BAL for Her initiative for young women's basketball on the continent. Let's take a look.
I was really good friends with Kobe Bryant. He was a mentor of mine for many years. He always told me to be epic and create forever. And so those two things have always stayed with me. And those two things are the reason why I'm here, because I'm like, this is what it is. It's not just me scoring points and crossing someone over. Like, that's cool, but it's, you know, like, it's nice, but it's this. This is creating forever. This is what being epic looks like.
Don't be timid. Like, come on, like, this is Women's Day. Scream it, shout it.
When things are tough, I don't want you to give up. I want you to rest. And I want you to know that you should believe in yourself.
It's quite important just to continue with those conversations socially, which will then also help you to cope in other areas.
So you've got to start small. Start with what you have. Start today. Don't wait. You want it, you can have it.
I think I had the confidence of always being like, well, if a guy can do it, I can do it. Why not? Like, who's gonna stop me?
Today, we learned a lot about leadership, and we got to teach young girls the game of basketball, and it was an amazing experience because I'm extremely passionate about growing the game, especially in young girls.
Let's go!
If ladies can just try their best to be epic in everything they do. On the court, if they're feeling like 20%, then they should give that whole 20% and be epic with that 20%. That would help a lot in growing the sport and in growing the game.
Just being in the game and also teaching the young girls out there basketball, it makes it easier for them to kind of empower them to take that leap of faith and actually participate in the sport.
What a great initiative, Sonny. BAL for Her. What are your thoughts on Jewel Lloyd being a BAL ambassador?
Great spokeswoman for the sport, Mukbil. I was doing a little research on her. She's played basketball all over the world. China, Turkey, South Korea, as well as now with the Seattle Storm and the WNBA here in the USA. And I got to believe those girls that we saw, they must have just been mesmerized hearing her advice. But she is someone I think that they can really look up to.
No, absolutely. I love the fact that, you know, she had a close relationship in terms of mentorship with the great late Kobe Bryant, unfortunately, with his untimely passing.
And he gave her a nickname,
A nickname, the Gold Mamba, man.
The Gold Mamba. That's what a compliment.
Yeah, that's, man, you don't get the Mamba tag unless you have the Mamba mentality.
so, and the Mamba skills.
Absolutely, absolutely. So she's a phenomenal player, and having that level of skills, you know, she even mentioned it in the clip we just recently saw, that she said, oh, you know, if the guys can do it, why not me as well? So that's a great attitude for young women and young girls to be able to see coming out of the continent.
And I know, Mukbil, one of the topics we discussed last year on the podcast was, do you think there will be a women's basketball Africa League down the road? And I got to believe that with these Ball for Her initiatives and other involvement of females in the Basketball Africa League, that it probably will happen in the next few years.
Yeah, absolutely, Sonny. I see it moving towards that. There's no reason for you to have an initiative like that and see how much the game is being impacted by women and young girls on the continent, and for you not to explore that, you know what I mean? Because the infrastructure that the NBA and the BAL are building on the continent right now, it's very easy for that transition to happen, you know? And I could almost see that the gap for the women's game and the men's game is not really going to be too far apart, because the NBA and the BAL are working on that infrastructure on the continent right now for the women alongside the men.
But I like the fact that we have WNBA involvement in the BAL with Jewel Lloyd and other players. In fact, I think when you were in Ivory Coast, you met a WNBA player for the recent AFCON.
I actually met with the legendary Lisa Leslie, as well as Chini. So, yeah. Two very prominent basketball WNBA stars in their own respects and own right. So I love the fact that not only were they there on, you know, the sports front, but they were there supporting AFCON. So that goes to show me that, you know, WNBA stars are no longer becoming just stars only for their respective sport, but they're becoming ambassadors for all sports in America. And, you know, they're part of an amazing delegation for the Biden administration.
And let's also not forget the first female coach in the Basketball Africa League, Liz Mills. But we're also seeing female referees in the Basketball Africa League. And I wasn't sure how many are in the NBA, but you've got some stats on that.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. If I'm not mistaken, I believe they have about 8 in the NBA at the moment, but the number just continually keeps increasing. We're showing that, you know, the level of professionalism that they have, and, you know, they can do the job just as good as the guys. So what a step forward for women in these respective sports that, and in these specific positions like reffing, right, like coaching, that have kind of been like an all-boys club for a really long time. So it's great to see their perspective on it.
Well, Mukbil, let's talk about some of the top players we're seeing in this Kalahari Conference in Pretoria. And I got to begin with the 2023 BAL Defensive Player of the Year, also First Team BAL in 2023, Aliou Diarra from FUS Rabat. Your thoughts on Aliou?
Man, what a baller, Sonny. What a baller. The young man is averaging 18 points per game. He is only second to Sam Kelogshele, who's averaging 20.5 points per game. He is literally, Sam Kello is the only one who's really performing consistently for the Cape Town Tigers, so they're requiring a lot from him. But Aliou is scoring 18 points on winning efforts. So it's, you know, it's kind of like, yeah, we're kind of going in the flow and not trying to keep my team from drowning, really,
right?
You know,
right.
And then if you look also on the rebounding side as well, he's averaging 8 rebounds as well. So yeah, young
all man, around player,
all around. He was all offense and all defense as well last season when he played for Stade Malien, that Stade Malien side that we grew to love so much, Sonny.
And Mukbil, I think Diarra, didn't he play for a NBA summer league team also?
Yeah, he played for the Bucks during the summer league, got some runs in there as well. So it's great to see the pathway right now from the BAL into the NBA. To get runs in the summer league is not easy at all, because, you know, you have the greatest, the best of the best, the cream of the crop, trying to make it into the NBA by getting those runs in, whether it's the lottery picks, the undrafted free agents, or, you know, some players maybe that were vets that are trying to get back in rotation. But all in all, the best of the best trying to get their spots in the NBA. So kudos to him, man.
Mukbil, let's give some props to the big man from Bamako who started out our podcast, Sheck Tiero. I did a little Wikipedia research before the pod, and I checked out Aliou Diarra's Wikipedia page. There's a photo of him with a VOA microphone, and I see this large hand holding the VOA microphone. I think it might be Sheck.
It's possible. It's definitely possible. It's definitely possible. So we might have to get a confirmation from Sheck on that one.
All right. What other players have caught your eye in the Kalahari Conference, Mukbil?
Yeah, Sonny. So as we mentioned, Semkelo Chele, averaging 20.5 points per game at the moment. The Cape Town Tigers have yet to get their first win. It has been challenging for them. They have shown glimpses, though, of some brilliance, you know, at times. We've seen the level of skills that he, Semkelo has. Billy Preston is another really good hooper on their team who's shown, you know, his skill sets, that he can go one-on-one iso ball. But it just seems to me a lot of times in their games that it's just Semkelo or Billy going iso ball, trying to make something happen, as opposed to a collective unit playing together. From a strategic standpoint, it doesn't seem like they're really working off of each other and getting the team involved in their offense. It's very hard to sustain an offense on ISO basketball.
Mukbil, I know it must be disappointing for the fans there in Pretoria that, you know, the Cape Town Tigers are pretty much the host team in the Kalahari Conference. Let me bring this up. I know our friend Coach Boyson in episode one on Nothing But Net, he talked about he'd like to see the BAL go to Cape Town as a venue. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, I could see that happening, Sonny. It's definitely probably in their pathway. I think this was just the first go-around for them to experience with South Africa. This is their first time having it there, hosting it there. We've spoken about this off-air plenty of times, and on-air, actually, about having thought that South Africa should have been amongst the first locations for the BAL once, after the first season. So I think that, you know, that could be a destination of theirs. We'll see. We'll have to see. The Kalahari Conference continues, you know?
Well, what other – I know we're just a few games into this Kalahari Conference, Mukbil. What other players or topics have caught your eye so far?
I would say Carlos Moraes is also averaging 18 points per game. He is another player that we've seen for...
Veteran player.
We've seen him for some years now with this Petro side. I'm kind of trying to figure out whether or not this Petro team really... Is this their year? Last year, we thought it might have been their year to kind of just, you know, close it off on top. Does Carlos Moraes and the likes of his team, majority of them are aging. Could this be their last go-around as well? We saw Monastir get bounced out of the tournament last year. Maybe they come back with a younger cast as well, because we're starting to see the older players are, you know, sometimes getting a little bit tired, maybe exhausted in some of the games. You could see them, even though they have that experience, that pedigree, to be able to tactically play with the young guns. The young gunners are just running, man. They're just outrunning you. They're able to stay running for a lot longer. So, you know, it's tough to...
Young legs.
I mean, Ruben said it. You know, last year he said, all we're doing is just outrunning these guys, really, you know, more than anything else. So I think I'm interested to see what Petro does if they're able to get themselves to that next level.
Two of the three teams will automatically go through to the BAL playoffs and final, which will be held in Kigali. Any predictions at this point, Mukbil, with Dynamo's withdrawal?
Yeah, I, you know, interesting that we're still talking about Dynamo. If they were still in it, you know, after their first performance, I was expecting them to give problems to everybody. You know, they have a young core, like we spoke about with Israel Otobo. Dang also was a younger player. And then they have, you know, their captain, Brian Hobbs, who, you know, is the veteran, the floor general, who was really able to kind of neutralize everything that the Cape Town Tigers were doing. So if you were to ask me after that first game, I would have probably said FUS Rabat and Dynamo. With Dynamo being out now, that leaves the way for either Cape Town or Petro. And I'm seeing, because Petro has already, you know, solidified and got their first win, Cape Town is yet to get their first win. I would have to give the edge to Petro at the moment.
Let's circle back to a young man we talked a little bit about last week, Mukbil Malawak. He's from South Sudan, and he's going to be playing for City Oilers later in the Basketball Africa League. But the big news last week was he signed or has made a commitment to Duke University. What's your reaction to that?
Huge. That's huge. What it shows us, Sonny, is that the pipeline for the BAL to the West really is it's real. It's the real deal. You see a young man like Malawak, you know, NBA Africa Academy player, BAL Elevate player, and now, you know, committed to Duke University, which is one of the perennial
premier
teams, schools in NCAA history, really. So I'm expecting him to play well. I think if they, you know, asked for his commitment, or, you know, the hype behind his commitment means that they're going to work with him and work around him and make sure that he's just not, you know, sitting on the bench over there. He's going to be somebody that's going to be instantly impactful with his size, man. What are you expecting, you know? Like, seven-footer, you know, with that type of skill set, it's unreal. So I'm expecting to see him do well. But even before Duke, we're going to see him with the City Oilers in the coming rounds. So expect to be... I wouldn't even say surprised at this point, because we know what he brings to the table.
And I would think the Oilers are going to give him a lot of playing time.
Oh, my goodness.
Just to, you know, to further his development, but also because he has so much talent.
You know, it's easy, Sonny, when things are aligning for both parties, right? It's like, yeah, we'll give you more playing time because you're good, right?
So I guess Malawak is now the second BAL product to make it to a top U.S. university
after Ruben,
your boy Ruben Chinyelo.
Hey, shout out to Ruben. You know. So, having seen him make it over to Washington State, the Cougars, and he had the ability to go to a bunch of other, if you want to call them, bigger schools. Washington State is a big D1 school, but he could have gone elsewhere. But he said he felt like, for him, Washington State felt like it was a home for him. The reception that he gets. And sometimes I think recruiting folks just don't understand. When you make your recruit feel as though, like, this is going to be a family environment, this is, you know, we really want you because, A, yes, you're going to add value to us, but, you know, we want to see you, you know, progress in the game. And, you know, if we can help each other in that process, then we'll do it. So that he said that that's what he felt when he went to Washington State. And I'm sure in order for Malawak to have committed to Duke, he probably felt the same thing as well.
Now, we're at a period of time here in the States, Mukbil, known as March Madness. And the teams in the BAL, I imagine players like Malawak and even Diarra, they're probably going to watch some of these March Madness games. If you had to describe what they're like, the early round games, to a foreign audience, how would you describe them?
I would say it's complete chaos, Sonny. It's complete chaos, bro. If you got to think about it, this is the most insane tournament ever, because you have now outside of the bracket. So you'll have the top ranked team go up against the lowest ranked team in a tournament. But now, a few years ago, they introduced like a additional bracket just to be able to make it into the bracket. So now you might have had a run like VCU, Virginia Commonwealth University, did a couple of years ago, where they weren't even a part of the bracket. Then they win their first games just to make it into the tournament, and then they made it all the way to Final Eight.
Okay.
I believe.
Okay.
Yeah, Final Eight. So... The Elite Eight, I should say. What am I talking about? Final Eight. Elite Eight. The Elite Eight. But, yeah, I think that tournament is a tournament whereby It's a Cinderella-esque type of tournament where it's a one, you know, you only got to play a team one time. A ton of first round teams, first place teams have been knocked out in that initial phase. You expect them to go far, but if you kind of misjudge or misread or underestimate a team simply because they are ranked 16th or 15th, you got something else coming to you. To me, those are my favorite games to watch. 1 versus 16, 2 versus 15, 3 versus 14. You know, the wider the gap, the better, bro.
Yeah, and there's usually at least one upset.
Something's got to give. Something's got to give.
Well, Muckbill, this is my final podcast for the Voice of America. I would like to reflect a little bit. A couple years ago, I was in Kigali, where the 2024 BAL final will be held again. And I got to travel with our friend Eddie Rawema.
Shout out, Eddie.
Eddie did a great job. Pretty much my official guide in Kigali. But from a gift standpoint, that's where I got my little BAL T-shirt, which right. I proudly sport.
Absolutely.
And I got to say, Muckbill, I was just really impressed with the way Kigali and, you know, the people there embrace basketball. And I think the BAL has rewarded Rwanda for four consecutive years now with hosting the playoffs and finals.
I would agree. I think it comes from the top, the super top to the bottom. President Paul Kagame is a huge basketball fan. So, you know, anything that he loves, anything that he is invested in, Rwanda has been able to get their hands on. They have been a destination, a tourist destination nowadays, a destination for sporting events and such. So kudos to Rwanda, man, for making it such an easy partnership for sports to come there and showcase, you know what I mean, how beautiful of a country it is. And that's their slogan, right? Visit Rwanda.
Visit Rwanda. I can't say the team from Dynamo embraces that slogan, but yes, visit Rwanda. And on that note, Muckbill, before the podcast, you mentioned outside of basketball, another sport that might be going there.
Yeah.
Talk about that.
Yeah, possibly UFC, man. Dana White, the head of the UFC, recently was asked whether or not he has any plans on taking the fight game to the continent. And he said that at the moment we are in conversation with three countries, South Africa, Nigeria, and Rwanda. It's amazing to see that Rwanda is in conversations with the likes of a South Africa or a Nigeria, right? Who
yes.
have been powerhouses economy-wise on the continent for decades. To see Rwanda being able to be in conversations like that right now is it just really shows you the work that they're doing.
You mentioned Nigeria, Muckbill. Do you see maybe Nigeria hosting BAL games in the next few years?
Yeah, that's another one of the destinations that we would have thought we would have seen earlier on, but maybe because of locations of the NBA offices, you know, with one being in Dakar, with the Sahara Conference, making sense, you know what I mean? Another location that we would have expected, you know, for it to be at would be Nigeria. But I could still see that an expansion could possibly happen. I don't think anybody would be against it. I think, you know, the fans, the Nigerian fans are some of the best sports fans in the world. They would definitely turn up for it. You would not have to worry about, you know, empty stadiums or empty,
right.
Empty gyms, because that's not what Nigerian fans do, man. They show up and they show out. So I could definitely see that happening
they
in the near future.
They can be quite vociferous.
That's our word for the pod. That's awesome, man.
Well, you know, Muckbill, I do have another basketball memory on my final VOA podcast, and it's linked with the Kalahari Conference. 6 years ago, VOA's Africa Service sent me to Pretoria to cover the 2018 Africa game, which was held at the Sunbet Arena in Pretoria, where the current Kalahari Conference games are taking place. Just some great memories from that trip that are linked to the BAL. Some great memories indeed. You've been listening to episode 2 of our Nothing But Net VOA BAL podcast.
And that wraps up the March 15th edition of the show. Thanks to producer and BAL nothing but net man, Muckbill Yabaro. Thanks also to engineer Patrick Dea. And thank you for tuning in. Have a nice weekend, everyone. I'm BOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.